Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
Welcome to Barbecue Nation with JT's After Hours. Conversation that took place after the broadcast ended.
Hey everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Everybody, welcome to After Hours here on Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. We've got Ed Randolph with us. He's the owner of Handsome Devil Barbecue, the author of Smoked, One Man's Journey to Find Incredible Recipes. Did you ever find any recipes that you stopped off at a place and you talked to them? I know they didn't make the cut for the book, but you went, I just don't want to do that one.
No, it's pretty much our hit list we have. Everybody who's in kind of did it. We did have to go through some people that would give like a duplicate or something, or it was a recipe maybe that we just didn't think had enough kind of oozpot for the book.
Right.
But there was nobody that I didn't put in a book because I didn't like the recipe.
Good. Did you find any food you didn't like to eat but didn't want to tell anybody about it? You don't have to name names. No names.
No, I mean, believe it, it's just the opposite. Some stuff kind of surprised me. We have one gentleman, actually we have like two or three vegan recipes in the book, but there's one guy in Brooklyn working called Monk's Meats, and I was like, he wanted to do a pulled oyster mushroom, and I was like, you know what, I want this book to be good for anybody and anybody who wants to buy it. So I was like, let me go to it. So he works this event in Brooklyn called Smorgasbord. And I walk up and I see the guy and I look and I swear to God, JT, I think I'm looking down at a pulled pork sandwich. It looks like a pulled pork sandwich. And I was surprised to hear that it was like pulled oyster mushrooms. They had the consistency, had the taste, and had barbecue sauce on it. You'd think they were eating a pork sandwich. So there's stuff like that kind of surprised me. And there's other stuff that, of course, when you get in town, you're looking for, you know, after Los Angeles, we go to Mac City Barbecue and he's like, do you want brisket or tri-tip? I'm like, tri-tip, you know, because that's really something that you don't get much here on the East Coast.
Right. You know, that's funny because back in the 80s and 90s, early 90s, they would grind it up. I know that, you know, there's the Santa Marita and all that stuff, and I forget that. Most big stores, you know, Safeway, mm-hmm. Kroger, whatever, they just ground it up, tri-tip.
Yep.
And first time I saw tri-tip was in Brazil. In the late 80s, and it was great stuff. I tend to cook a lot of it when I can get it.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite cuts of meat. If I see it, I buy it for sure.
Yeah. Tell us a little more about your involvement in Operation Barbecue Rescue.
Yeah, OBR, Operation Barbecue Relief, is a great
relief,
organization. Yep, it's 100% volunteer-driven, and it's all driven usually by barbecue guys and girls. You know, we have a sense of our community. We know when times are good, I rely on my community to come out to support me and buy my food and do stuff. So when times are bad, it's important for us to be able to give back. So here in the Northeast, probably 4 or 5 years ago, we had Hurricane Sandy hit. And we put together a team. The OBR guys just sent an email out. Anybody that can help, please do. Well, I have 4 or 5 different trucks and trailers. So we put everything together and we started heading down. And literally we ended up in Northern Jersey. And we pulled in there, and they're like, there's this one area called, I think it was like Little Ferry Munaki, and they said Red Cross can't even get in there, or Salvation, whoever they did, I think it was Red Cross, is unable to get their trucks in there. So I said, well, that's the place my team's going to go. You know, if they can't go in, we will. And went in there, and it was really rewarding. I mean, we cooked, I think we did, you know, it was a while ago, but I want to say something. We did like 600 hot meals, and then we did like 300 or 400 bag lunches for people to take home. It was just short of about 1,000 meals we did in a day. And, you know, I tell people all the time, you can win as many awards as you want and have all the trophies and stand on stage. Have somebody shake your hand for the first hot meal they had in 10 days, and it hits home a lot more. You know,
it does.
Look at me this day, man. I get a little choked up thinking about it, man.
That's okay. And you should. You should. It's a good deal. Where do you go next? What do you do next as far as barbecue?
for me in my current schedule, like in the recent coming up, in another week or so or 2 weeks, I'll be down in the New York City Wine and Food Festival for the Food Network, trying to defend our title for best barbecue in the New York area.
No, I'm talking like a year from now. 2 years.
You're from now, working on right now. Maybe I could break the news on your program, but we're working on opening up our own brick and mortar. So have a location that we're just waiting for all the other the I's to get dotted and T's to get crossed, and then we can have our own restaurant set up. And we are working on. I just finished my second book, which will be just recipes from me, and we're working on the publisher for doing another round of smoked. So we might try to turn this into a regional series, which would be fun to do. And just kind of showcase, you know, smoked from the Northeast, smoked from the Northwest, you know, instead of doing the whole U.S., just kind of really make it like a travel book and really do a feature on, you know, local pitmasters in our local areas.
Well, if you do, take your truck, fill it up in the back. If you go down to like Georgia or Texas, you can get hickory mesquite or pecan wood down there, peach wood. You can take your truck when you drive down there and take it home so you got that little different flavor. We'll test that out. We've got so many different woods up here in the Northwest because we have pecan and we have, of course, apple and alder and oak and blah, 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 and the list goes on. So we are not short of wood here in this area. That is for sure.
Not at all.
What would you like to do? Do you have like a bucket list in barbecue, Ed?
I do, and I keep knocking them off. I'm getting worried that either I need to get a new bucket list or I'm not going to be around much longer. You know, it's something as simple as, you know, you hear about it. Like, I just this past week missed out going to the American Royal because I had an event here to do at home. But earlier this year, it was cooking at Memphis in May. And, you know, I did that with Kerry Bringle, and we came in seventh, you know, in the world for whole hogs. I had the pleasure of cooking at the James Beard House in New York City to really showcase our barbecue a couple times this year. So it's... I always like to think that it's, I just wait for the phone to ring next and see who's going to do what, you know, as far as goals, it's just spreading the word and really trying to get the word out there of what the good stuff is. And, you know, in the Northeast, we are a little deprived of real traditional barbecue and maybe probably the Northwest is as well. You know, as you go down to the South and, you know, these people eat barbecue 3-4 times a week. It's like food, you know, it's just common. And for us, you know, that doesn't happen. So I need to get that kind of instilled in the people that there is good barbecue. And you can, you know, whether you want to get brisket today, you can come back tomorrow and get ribs, or we can do a prime rib or something. You know, it's just to try to show a different variety.
Well, and I think that's one of the things, too. We were talking about this earlier in the regular show is, you know, you have a variety in that. But the big thing is consistency in barbecue. We've got... Here in the Portland area, we've got quite a few barbecue restaurants, and some of them are quite good. Some of them are very good. Some of the more mediocre ones, the biggest complaint against them, and actually have people will call me or email me mostly and say, hey, what do you think about this place? You know, and I don't really answer, you know, I can't. But they'll say, you know, I went there a month ago and it was fabulous, and I went there a week ago and it was rotten. And it's that consistency factor. I owned a restaurant one time, a long time ago, for a very short period of time. But the biggest thing was consistency in your food, in your product. Not everybody's going to like everything on every menu from every restaurant or barbecue shop or whatever. They're not going to do that. But the stuff that they do like, your leads, you know, you know, your lead off batter type thing. They got to be good, and
they need to show up every day.
Yeah, they can't take a week off. You know what I mean?
No,
it just doesn't work that way. How can we do a better job getting the word out to people? I know the television stuff works great because I've done some of that, and you've done some of that, and all that. And of course, I'm big in radio. I'm talking about my size, not my broadcast area. But no, and we are expanding the show clear across the country, and we have people that listen to the show now and. In Europe and in England and Australia and all over the place. But how do we present to the folks that aren't competition barbecue people and don't own restaurants? How do we present to them that having you know, a good stick smoker, a good pellet smoker, or whatever you've got, it is worthwhile, and you can have a lot of fun, and you can cook a variety of things on it?
I do two things. One, as I really think, is items such as your show. I mean, here we are getting the word out. I mean, You know, I like to say I'm a country boy farmer from, you know, the Hudson Valley of New York, and I'm talking to you all the way across the country. So right. Hopefully in between me and you, there's somebody going to pick this up and listen. But also in addition, when I go do my shows and events, it's that personal effect that you have with your guests. You know, if someone's looking at it, they'll look at my smoker. I had that 1,000-gallon mill scale at an event, and people were like, what is that? And they're standing. So I was like, come right on up. You know, I walk people up and let them look at it, let them throw a piece of stick in the firebox if they need to, open the door up, really, you know, put a hands-on approach to it. And then we get to talk with them. And most recently, we just won Pig Island in New York City with Tank Jackson for Best Whole Hog. And I probably spent a half hour talking to a guy who has a little Weber, and he's trying to figure out how to work it because he's in New York City, so he can't have a real big smoker, and he can't get the burn time because he doesn't have a big enough firebox, and you know, yada yada. And it just was going through maybe being a half hour of just little tricks that I do and telling him, you know, certain things that he should do and can't do. Like, don't expect to try to do a 20-pound Packer brisket on the thing because it just won't fit.
Nope.
So you got to also work within your limitations and don't get discouraged. And I think the fact that a lot of these pit masters, including myself and restaurateurs, were open and people are afraid to ask. So sometimes we have to pry it out of them and talk, hey, what do you cook on? What do you have? And because they see us at these events with these monster old hickories and these monster offsets, that they're like, well, this guy doesn't know what I have. I cook on a Primo at home. Well, guess what? I have a Primo as well, and I've got a Traeger. So let's have a conversation of what you like to do and you know, maybe share some recipes that kind of work as well.
There you go.
If you take that initial fear out from people, I think people get scared of barbecue because, you know what, they've gone to Uncle Andy's place and he's absolutely destroyed a chicken that tastes like, you know, a piece of charcoal. They don't want to do it themselves.
Roadkill with a black rash on its ass. That's what I thought. So. Ed Randolph, it's been great. The name of Ed's book is Smoked. His journey, one man's journey across the nation. Your subtitle there kind of makes me want to add more to it. You know, and say, man, this guy went everywhere to put this book together and he did great. But Ed, we appreciate it. I hope to have you back on the show.
Cheers, everybody at the Barbecue Nation. Live, love, and eat some barbecue.
There you go. Thanks, buddy. We'll be back next week with another edition of Regular Barbecue Nation and another edition of After Hours. So y'all take care. We'll see you next week.